Father, take this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin. It will start the joy bells ringing. Keep your soul aflame, for it's burning now. Bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to St. Matthew's Gospel. Amen. I think we can all say amen to that song tonight. He's wonderful. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Amen. It's good to serve a living God, not some statue, not somebody that died thousands of years ago and we're still waiting on, like the Mohammedans or different ones. But where you've got a living God that rose again. Amen. Amen. There's an empty tomb in Jerusalem tonight because he lives. Amen. St. Matthew's Gospel, and we want to read from chapter 6 tonight with the help of the Lord. And I want to speak to you tonight on a topic that sounds like a prosperity message by the title, but I'm not going to preach you prosperity tonight. I'm going to preach you about contentment. God's one-step plan to financial freedom. God's one-step plan to financial freedom. Amen. You want to hear it tonight? Amen. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 33. This is the one step that he gave us. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all, everybody say all. All these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Let's read it again together. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look into your word tonight, Father, we could say amen and go home and be a happy people to have been here and worshiped you, to come and sing the songs of Zion, to hear your word read. Lord, your word said in Revelations, Lord, I believe chapter 1, that blessed are they that hear and blessed are they that read. We've heard it and we've read it and we're blessed tonight, Father, because your word promised we would be. And Lord, as we look into this thought tonight, help me and help this group of people. Help us to find a right balance on these things, not just from a financial standpoint. Lord, I'm not here to give them a financial seminar, but Lord, we want to look at it from the spiritual aspect as well of what you would have us to do and how you would have us to live our lives, Father. Be with us tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That was God's one-step plan to financial freedom. Put him first. Put him first in everything you do. And we want to look at this a few different ways tonight, but we want to first start off. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, or I'm just going to read one verse if you don't want to turn to it, but you want to mark it down or whatever you want to do. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. And this, we read first of all the Lord Jesus. And if anybody could give us advice, it would be him. How to live our life and how to love one another and how that we should go about our lives is to seek what the Lord Jesus Christ would have for us to do. And one of the, aside from the Lord Jesus, one of the other greatest resources we could turn to would be St. Paul. And he says in Philippians 4:11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Now, this was a man who had been beaten. He had been stoned until they thought he was dead and dragged out of the city to die. He had been put in jail and chained to a wall. He had been in trials of shipwreck and in the sea, and he'd been bit by snakes. And he says, "I've learned whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content." If anybody could say that and mean it, it would be Paul. He had been through a lot. But he said, "Whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content." Now, the other greatest resource that I could point you to besides the Lord Jesus Christ or St. Paul would be Brother Branham. And he says, "And here we have no continuing city," in 1950, and he says it many other places as well. He quotes a little statement that he said he had learned to be true down through his life. He said, "Happiness does not consist of how much the world's goods you own, but how contented you are with the portion that's allotted to you." So we want to look tonight at God's one-step plan to financial freedom. Everybody, you know, people pay big money to go to seminars and hear these type of things, so this is free tonight. You don't have to pay for it. Amen. Not prosperity. I'm not telling you that you'll have $1 million in your bank account and your cars, your driveway will be filled with Lamborghinis and all these different things if you come to Christ. I'm not preaching prosperity tonight. I'm preaching contentment. He said, "Happiness does not consist of how much of the world's goods you own, but how contented you are with the portion that's allotted to you." I was in prayer last night after studying on this a little bit, and I felt led to reach out to a brother that. A friend of mine and just counsel him a little bit on some things, and he got that for free too, Brother Layton. I didn't charge him a penny for it, and just to give him some encouragement about marriage and different things. And we find not just around the message, but if you talk to psychologists, if you talk to people that counsel marriages, or if you talk to pastors or talk to people who have been divorced, usually the main two problems that affect a marriage, not the only two, but the main two problems that affect a marriage is, one is a breakdown in communication. Silence is one of the deadliest killers. When the husband or the wife, they just stop talking about whatever they're going through, and they stop communicating with one of the others. But the second one that I would say is the greatest killer of marriage is finances. People get so stressed out and worked up about finances, and they keep going further and further and further into debt until the husband and the wife get to a place where they're ready to pull their hair out, and they just don't know what to do. They're constantly stressed. They're constantly at one another's throat, and they, because they have all this financial weight hanging over them. But God said, "Just seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." He didn't say, that we had to go to seminars, although that's fine if that's what you need to do to get your credit card back in your pocket and out of everybody else's hand. Whatever you got to do to curb some of that, the spending and things. I believe it was, I can't remember the man who it was, it might have been Will Rogers that said it, that he said, we borrow money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't even like. And that's about the truth tonight. That's what people do. Brother Branham says it this way in Choosing Over Abide, and talking about this whole sermon, and as Brother Stephen knows, before I was married, I could almost quote this sermon from beginning to end right along with the tape. And he and I had taken a drive out to an inspection meeting that he had way down 111 in Indiana one time, and we'd listened to it on the way out there and on the way back, and I could quote most of it right along with Brother Branham because I was searching for a bride. And, I don't listen to it that much anymore, Brother Layton, because I found one. But I used to listen to that. I wore a tape out in my Camaro, just listening to it over and over and over, wore the cassette tape out. And Brother Branham begins to talk. Most of us know the stories from that tape, and it's a wonderful tape, but not just of talking about choosing a wife in the natural, but about a spiritual bride that God went to choose. And he talks there at the end about the great earthquake that we know will take place one day in California, and many great things in that sermon in 1965. But one of the great stories that he tells in this sermon was a true story that had happened to him when he was working for the public service company to go down checking lines and things, and he had married a little poor couple, didn't even have enough money hardly to buy a wedding dress or to do anything that we would consider great things for a wedding today. Is everybody trying to outdo everybody else? How much flowers we can have and how many bridesmaids we can have and how many of the tuxes that we can get and all the biggest, finest cakes and all the greatest decorations and the best food that you can get, until they can only invite about 15 people and they invite everybody else to the shower to get a gift, but then they don't invite anybody else to the wedding because they can't afford it. They've bought steaks and lambs and all kinds of things, and that's just what people do today, trying to outdo one another. And we call it putting on the dog, Brother Layton. But this little couple, they couldn't afford anything. They even had an old car that they had to wire the lights onto to keep them onto the car. And he had, holes in his pants and everything. So it didn't look very much like a bride and groom. And the husband, being kind of poor and maybe even illiterate a little bit, not paying much attention. And Brother Branham began to ask him questions. And he said, "Do you love one another? What about when times get rough? Are you going to go back to mommy and daddy?" "Oh, no, we love one another. We're going to stick together." And he said, then he married a couple of people who, one of them had been the great owner and president of the sand and gravel company here in Indiana, and the other one, they were both came from millionaire parents. They were millionaires' children, and they had a great huge mansion with 10 karat gold doorknobs and all kinds of pomp and everything. He said when he went to go to marry him, he knelt down on a pillow and all this stuff that he had to go through to marry this couple. Why? Because they were trying to outdo somebody else. And he said he went and he was thinking along those lines of marrying those two couples, and he thought he'd check in on both of them and see how they were doing. And the one, he said, he happened to go up to their house. They had a great big steeple on the house, and oh my, what a great big thing. He went up there knocking on the door, and he said he could hear them arguing before he even got there, hollering back and forth about one another. They'd been out partying and she'd been dancing with another man and all these different things. And they came to the door and quickly gained their composure. "Oh, Brother Branham, how are you doing?" "Oh," put their arms around each other, how we love one another. And he said, "You can't get warm by a painted fire." They were just pretending to be something they weren't. And he happened to be down checking some lines down along the river, and he saw this old box car where the other couple had went to live. Couldn't even afford a house, Brother Charlie. Couldn't afford an apartment. But they had a little old box car there that they were living in that had been pulled off the tracks. And he said he happened to go up there and got where he could kind of peek through the cracks in the box car and was watching him. We break in on the story here. He says he had one of those old slouch hats. And had put a little hole, mashed it down the top, and pulled out his paycheck. And he was laying it out on the table, said, "So much for groceries, so much for insurance," and said, "So much for on the car." Hey, man, we've all been there, haven't we? And they couldn't make their ends meet. Come to find out that he had seen a little dress up there in the window, been looking at it for a couple weeks, and cost a dollar and something. He wanted to get it. Said, "Well, honey, you'd look so pretty in it." And she said, "But honey, I got a dress. I don't really need it, see?" And that little queen, he said, "I backed off and I looked up." He said, "I could see the steeple on top of the other house. I stood there and looked for a few minutes. I thought, which is the rich man? I thought, if Bill Branham, if you want to take place, where would you go? For me, I'd take not that pretty thing up on the hill. I'd take this character down here as a real homemaker. Somebody that loved me and stayed with me. Somebody tried to make a home and not bleeding you for everything, for fineries. And somebody that's with you." He said, "A part of you." Let me tell you tonight, friends, Bill Gates and some of these multi-billionaires and all these different men, they were saying today that, I forget what his name is, but the other great big rich guy up there with Bill Gates, he said he'd give $500 million or $1 billion or something like that if anybody could guess all the brackets in the NCAA and get them all right. It's like a one in quintillion chance of getting every game right. I thought, Lord, maybe you'd give me a little discernment on that. We could build a nice big church. They've got so much money they don't know what to do with it. And Bill Gates and all these great men, you know, all the money that they have and all the fineries that they have, more houses and more cars and more, they probably have islands and everything else. They don't know what to do with their money anymore. It's got to be such a point. Like the rich young ruler in the Bible, he kept building greater and greater and tearing down what he had and building bigger. But what did he have? He was empty inside. He didn't have anything. He was searching and longing for something, and all the money he had couldn't buy it. Many of these men out here, millionaires and billionaires, would trade shoes with you any day to have a wife that was loyal to them, to have children that are serving the Lord and in their right minds and no, not missing limbs and all these different things. There are millionaires that would trade places with you in a heartbeat. You might say, oh, I'd trade places with them too. But no, not when it comes to what they look like on the inside, on that spiritual side, what they go through. Amen. I'm not preaching tonight on God's one-step plan to riches. I'm talking about God's one-step plan to financial freedom. We find out that Abraham one time had a need. And he had a need for a sacrifice. And God had told him to go up on the mountain and to sacrifice his own son. And he had a need. He had had this son that he had waited for 25 years to come along. And he loved the son just as much as I love my little boy back there, or just as much as you love yours. He loved this boy. And he had waited for him longer than any of us waited for ours. And he waited and waited and waited 25 years for this son. And here he comes. And God says, go take him up and sacrifice him. And he gets him and he gets the wood and he places it on his back as a type of Christ, and he gets ready to go up the hill, and he turns and he tells his servant, he said, wait here, I and the lad shall return. He had faith, Brother Jeremiah. He had faith that God, if you gave me this boy, even if I have to go up there and kill him, the God that gave him to me as one from the dead is able to raise him from the dead. He had a need. He had a need, but God was able to supply his need. And even Isaac, looking around, he gets up there and there's the altar and there's the wood and here's all these things. He said, here's the altar and here's the wood, Daddy, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide a ram. Amen. Amen. I'm not here to preach you Dave Ramsey tonight. I'm here to preach you God will provide you a ram. God will provide a ram for thee. Amen. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. He had faith. He had confidence in God. And even though it seemed bleak, even though it seemed like impossible, where is he going to find a sacrifice up there where even there's nothing up there above the tree line and everything? And here he goes up and he hears a little blading in the trees behind him. The angel stopped his hand and said, I've provided a ram for you, Abraham. Amen. He had a need, but God provided his need because he put God first. He didn't say, God, this doesn't make any sense. I don't understand this. I don't know why you would have me do this. And he didn't contradict the word of God, but he followed through with what the word had said, and God provided for him. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, if you turn with me, let's look at another person that had a need. I want us to get to the spot to where when somebody gets healed, or when somebody gets a financial blessing, when somebody gets something, a miracle just happened to him, Brother Charlie, I don't want it to shock us or surprise us. We should come expecting a miracle. We should come, and every time we come to church, not just to church either, every time we get out of bed, Brother Layton, we should expect a miracle. God, what are you going to do for us today? How are you going to provide for us? How are you going to protect us? There's maniacs out on the roads. There might be meth labs in the house right beside you. You don't know. It could explode 50 feet in the air, but in the next breath, you don't know what's going on around you in this crazy world we live in. You don't know who's going to be on the road and how much alcohol and how much vodka they've drank, how much drug they've put in their veins. But I wake up and I think, Lord, it's all going to be okay because you're watching over me. You're protecting me. There's pedophiles and rapists and murderers wandering the streets of Louisville and Jeffersonville and New Albany, but I have confidence in God to protect my family. Amen. I can't sit there and bite my fingernails and worry about it day and night and not go out of the house and sit there with the shotgun loaded and the doors barred and just be a recluse and sit back there in fear. I have to have confidence in God God that he's going to protect me. So I wake up every morning expecting a miracle. God's going to get me through this day alive, or if not, I'm going to be in another body anyhow. Amen. I expect a miracle either way. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come." Uh-oh. The creditor's calling. All those 800 numbers you see, they're wanting your money. The creditor has come to take him unto him my two sons to be bondmen. She had a need. She had a need. He was going to come and take her sons and make servants out of them. And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" She had something and she had to do in it too. Sometimes we sit back and just say, "Well, God's going to bless me. I'm just going to wait for God to pour out the blessings." But God wants you to do something too. Don't just sit back and say, I don't have a job, so I guess I'll just sit here and wait for the phone to ring. You go out and do something, and God will provide a job for you. You put him first. You seek him for the job. You put in the applications. You do the legwork, and he'll answer the prayers. Amen. It's not, I don't think we have to just sit around and wait for God like the man. I've told it before. Jerry Clarris tells the story of a man that a flood came and he stood up there and on his front porch and the water had got so high a boat came and they said, "Oh, come on, man." He said, the water's rising. We got to get out of here. And he said, "No, God's going to save me." And it got up a little higher where he was standing on the pillars up around his porch. And they said, "Come on, get in the boat." They got a bigger boat now. "The waves are so strong it's going to sweep away the porch." He said, "No, God's going to save me." And then eventually you see him at the end of the story. He's standing up on top of his chimney looking down at the water around his feet. And a helicopter comes with the bullhorn and says, "Grab the ladder, man. It's flooding. It's going to sweep the whole way." He said, "No, God's going to save me." And he gets to heaven. He said, "God, I don't understand. You promised me that you were going to take care of me." God said, "Well, I sent you two boats and a helicopter." We're expecting God to just come and, do everything, but God wants you to do something a little bit. Step on the boat or grab the ladder or put in a resume or something. "What hast thou in thine house?" She had something to do. And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." She didn't have very much, Brother Charlie. She didn't have a whole lot. You may not have a whole lot tonight. You may not have a lot of finances. You may not have a lot of gifts. You may not have a lot of talents. But whatever you've got, give it to the Lord. Put him first. You say, "Oh, I don't have a, I may not be able to sing like this one. Or I may not be able to do this like that one. I may not be called to preach." Well, what do you have? Do something for him. Even if it's just clapping your hands and raising them to him and telling somebody about what he did for you. Give what you have to him and see what he can do with it. Amen. She just had a pot of oil. And he said, "Go and borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels." Oh, that's what it takes tonight, friends. Not, "I've got this idea and I'm going to do it this way and I believe it this way and I think we should do it this way." But come and bring some empty vessels for him to fill up. Not filled up with your own ideas and your own opinions and your own doctrines, but empty yourself up and come to him and say, "Lord, I'm here waiting for you. Just fill me with whatever you have for me tonight." He said, "Go get some empty vessels. Borrow not a few." Don't expect a little miracle. Don't say, "Lord, I have a need, so I'm gonna go get this little pot and wait for about the size of a spittoon, and I'm going to wait for a blessing. That's all I expect. That's all you'll probably get." Go borrow some more pots. Borrow all the pots that you can find. We expect God to pour out from heaven more than you can obtain. Amen. Expect a miracle. Expect big things. Don't just expect, "Well, God, I know I've got cancer. I've got this. I've got that. And well, if you can't heal me, then maybe you can just let me get through long enough to see a few of my children grown." No, don't expect a miracle. Expect a little miracle. Expect a big miracle. Amen. God can only do. Remember, Brother Bram said, St. Paul said he's the high priest of our profession. Brother Bram said that word profession is the same as confession. He said he'll only bless you as you confess it. You've got to accept it yourself. He said, "Don't go and just get a few pots, but go and borrow as many as you can. And when thou art come, thou shalt put the door open, shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all these vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut up the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. I bet they were wishing they would have drove a little further and tried to find a few more to fill up. Amen. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. He didn't just give her enough to pay off the debt so her sons wouldn't have to go and be bondsmen, but he gave her enough to live on until the things got a little bit better in the economy as well. God provided for her because she took God at his word and she put him first. She didn't say, I don't want to go do this. He said to go borrow pots from the neighbors, but I don't want to go around the neighbors. They're a bunch of hypocrites and I don't want to fellowship with them, and I don't want to knock on their door and ask them for anything. I'm too proud. Well, she would have got a real little blessing. But because she did what the man of God said, she was able to get a greater blessing and a greater blessing and a greater blessing until she was able to be a blessing to others. I'm sure, Brother Charlie, come on over to our house. We've got all the oil you need. Amen. Come on down to the church tonight. The Holy Ghost is still filling as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. It's not just for me and for my house, but it's for all those, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And while he's still calling, there's still oil. You just empty up your vessels to receive it. Amen. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Now, we preached on this a few weeks ago when we were looking at tithing and why we should tithe and things. But, we're going to look at this on the blessing side tonight. Not just about you giving, but about what the Lord does back for you. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. He says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's how that little woman had to have felt. She had went and she had talked to the prophet, and the prophet had told her what to do, and she obeyed his word to the letter. She didn't question it. She didn't doubt it. She didn't say, it was before 63, so I don't know if we should really have confidence in that one. She didn't say, I don't know about all this pot doctrine. That sounds like something out of Colorado or something to me, Brother Stephen. And she didn't say, explain it away and reason it out and think, what about this and what about that? But she just, in the simplicity of being a little housewife, she just went and did what he said, and here it comes, and she's pouring it out, and all the vessels are full. She said, don't we have any more room to obtain a blessing? He said, no, mommy, we've got all the blessings we can hold. Oh my, just obey God's word and he'll bless you. You'll be looking around thinking you'd borrowed more baskets and more pots and more anything you could to hold the blessings that God will pour out on you. Amen. I'm not talking just about prosperity now tonight, though. We want to use a little wisdom with it. Don't just sit back and say, I'll just wait for God to make the car payment. No, you go and get a job and make the car payment. God will bless you. He'll bless you to be able to make the car payment. He'll bless you to be able to make the house payment or whatever it is. But you do your part. You put your part into it. Amen? We don't remember the Bible said that he that doesn't provide for his own house is worse than an infidel. So we got to do our part. But don't stay up all night and be stressed out and worried about it. And where's the next dollar going to come from? You seek him first and his righteousness, and God will take care of it. You just do your part. You keep grinding and you keep doing, you keep borrowing the pots and filling them up, and God will provide you a blessing. Amen. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's go a little further. Here's another woman that was in need. And Elijah the Tishbite, verse 1, of the inhabitants of Gilead said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel before whom I stand, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Now he had spoken the word of the Lord, and he had spoken a drought into existence. And that was a pretty brave thing to do, Brother Stephen, because he had to have faith that not only was God going to provide for him during the time when there was no water, when there was no oil, when there was no all these different things that they were looking for, nothing to be able to grow their crops. crops and things because there wasn't any moisture to raise them. They'd plant in that dry, hard ground and nothing would come up because there was no water to rain down on it to draw it up. Oh, that's like a lot of dry, hotbed plant Christians tonight that they've sat and they've said, I'm a message believer and I'm this, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, until they're blue in the face and they sit there. They've been baptized, but they won't get where the rain's falling to let it moisture up that experience that they've got. And they sit there and they're so dried out and cracked out and they're just sitting there about to wither away, and you get around them, oh, days of miracles are past, and they're all dried up and they can't raise their hands anymore. I can't praise the Lord no more. That's Pentecostal, dried up like an old shrub. I can't speak in tongues anymore. Well, why not? The Bible taught it. Oh my, I can't do this, I can't do that. You old dried shrub claiming to be a Christian. You let a little rain fall on you and moisture you up. Brother Bram said you get down there and out in Arizona, and he said those leaves are so sticky. Brother Layton, you go to shake their hand, they just turn their back, or either they stick you or talk bad about you behind your back. So dried up and so hard. He said you get that same leaf out here where there's more moisture and rain, and he said it just opens right up. It's not sticky, it's not starchy, it's just a nice soft leaf. You go over to it, shake your hand, God bless you, how you doing, they're happy to see you. But you get to where there's no water, there's no moisture, there's no rain of the Holy Spirit falling down in their lives, and they get so starchy and so sticky you can't hardly get around them without about getting your hand chopped off. Oh my, there was some people in the land that there was a time of famine, there was a time of drought, and Elijah had spoken into existence, and now he had to have confidence that, Lord, even through all this, even through this trial that Ahab has brought on us, yet I've got to have confidence that you're not just going to provide for me, but that you're going to provide for all your elect during this time. And he said, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Oh, that wasn't very scientific. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. I wonder how many people in the message today, too many germs, a raven bringing me my food, that old raw meat, it looks like sushi, and here they are bringing me this and feeding it to me. You get hungry enough, you'd eat it. You'd forget about the germs and your hand sanitizer and all this stuff. Sometimes I think we say so sanitized that any little germ that jumps on us has us almost at our deathbed. Oh my. These ravens coming and bringing the prophet food. I read of another prophet one time eating locusts and wild honey. My, that doesn't sound very good to me, but I guess if I got hungry enough, Brother Layton, I'd sure eat it. Bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Oh, what an unlikely place for him to go to be sustained and to get a meal and to get all these different things. Here's the poor little widow woman over here, her and her own son starving to death, and God's called her out to provide for him. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate, behold, the widow woman was gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and that my son, and that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. I like that. Fear not. Sister put on Facebook last night, she said she had searched the word worry in the Bible and couldn't find it nowhere. I said, go back and search how many times it says fear not. 63 times he tells us, fear not. Fear not, fear not, all the way down through the Bible. And we get a little financial trouble or a little bit of health problems or marital problems or a little bit of upset in the church, and all we begin to fear, what if this happens, what if that happens, what if this one leaves the church, what if that one leaves the church, what if the next paycheck isn't coming in time, what if I don't get a good bill of health from the doctor? Well, the doctor isn't the absolute for me. Amen. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Oh, I wish we could get a group of people here tonight that would go and do according to the saying of the words of Elijah. Amen. Don't just talk about it and say, oh, praise God, I'm a message believer, but put into action what he said. It wasn't enough for her to sit there and say, oh, thank God that he sent me Elijah. She had to go in there and make a little meal herself and bring it out. She had to go in there and pour a little oil in, and my, that cruse, every time she poured out, glub, 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 and it looked like it was getting down, and she began to fear. But no, the prophet said, fear not, and she'd shake that thing, and that oil would raise right back up. It never did go dry. It didn't say it didn't get close to running dry a few times, but it never did run dry. Oh, God, help us tonight to have faith. Fear not, whatever we're going through. Trust in him that he's not going to let the cruse run dry on you tonight. He's able. He's more than able. Put him first and put his word into action and see what he'll do. Oh, my, she and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake to Elijah. I'll get ahead of myself a little bit tonight, but I feel led to go ahead and say it. The psalmist David, he said, I've been young and I'm older now. He said, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging bread. He's never seen it. Oh my, we've seen hard times. We've seen the economy drop and rise and drop and rise, and this president in and that president in, and the gas goes up, and then about election time it comes back down, and all the house market crashes, and then it comes back up a little bit, and we see falls and rises. But I've never seen God's children begging for bread. They might not have had a lot of surplus laying around, and they might not have had Cadillacs and 5,000 square feet homes, but they were provided for. Even in Haiti, after the earthquake, there's people didn't have homes, didn't have any clothes but the clothes on their back, but they weren't begging for bread. God provided for them. Amen. We won't go through and read it tonight, but I'll reference here St. John chapter 2. Jesus, his first miracle. Mary had recognized that they were running a little low on wine at the wedding, and she said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I can say the same thing tonight. Whatever he says, you cling on every word of it. Not just him, but his prophet too. Whatsoever he says, do it. And do it in confidence. Do it with baskets open wide everywhere in the house, laying around, a basket over here for the children's health, and a basket over there for your finances, and a basket over here for the church, and a basket over here for your loved one's salvation, and a basket over here for your marriage, and a basket over there for whatever Satan's tormenting you with. Open up all the baskets and just have confidence and do all that he said. Amen. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2-3 firkins apiece, 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. Notice they always had something that they were supposed to do. Jesus didn't just go and do it himself, but he told them, you've got a part in this too. You go do as I tell you. And they went and did it. And when they went and they began to pour that out, and that was turned into wine, the man standing there at the wedding, he said, I don't understand. He said, usually when you have a meal or you have a great banquet, you bring out the best wine first. He said, but you kept the best wine until now. Oh, I believe that's the type of the bride in the last stage. He kept the best for last. Amen. St. Luke chapter 5. It came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, I've said many times, he didn't have to step into Peter's boat. What if he would have stepped into somebody else's boat, and we had a Joe or somebody, or a Bob or whoever it would be, Bob's boat, or somebody that he stepped on his boat? We never heard about Peter, but Peter was a predestinated seed, and he stepped onto Peter's boat. How did you hear about the message? Why didn't somebody else hand a book or a tape to somebody else? Why was Brother Trevor's dad sitting there in jail, and here they come and give him a book, and he hears about the message for the first time? Why didn't they hand it to somebody else in there, Brother Layton? Because there was some predestinated seed laying out there. He stepped onto Peter's boat because he was a predestinated seed. He said, take me out a little bit from the land. He was about to show the sign of the Son of Man to him, speaking a little bit of something into existence for him. And they got out there, and he said, I want to do something for you, Peter. I know you've been working hard and trying to make a living, and you've let me use your rent your boat here for a little bit of a sermon. And what can I do for you? He said, oh, we've toiled all night. We haven't caught nothing, Lord. And he said, just let down the net again, Peter. But I've toiled all night, Lord, and I haven't caught anything. It's okay, Peter. Just let down the net. I know there weren't fish there a few minutes ago, but you got a surprise coming. Expect a miracle. Don't expect a little miracle. Don't expect enough to just, well, I guess I'll get enough to feed me and the kids today. And, you know, the rest of the guys, I don't know how I'll pay the rest of the crew on the boat, but Jesus said to dip down. So get the little net, James. Where's that little handheld net? Let's get it and just see, because we've been seining all night. We haven't got nothing. He said, no, just let them down again, Peter. Expect a big miracle, Peter. And he lets them down, and they begin to bring him back. He had to call for another boat. He didn't have enough room to hold the blessing that God was pouring out on him. Didn't have enough nets to hold up the blessing that God was pouring on him. And they got another boat and another net, and it barely made it back to shore. And the net's beginning to break and everything else. Why? Because they obeyed God, and he poured out a blessing on them more than they were able to withhold. Oh, my. He tells Peter again at the end of that story. He said, fear not. Henceforth thou shalt catch men. Oh, my. He was expecting a big miracle. One day they were sitting there. We won't go into it all, but St. Mark's chapter 8, it tells of a story where they were sitting there. They didn't have any food. The multitude was weary. They were out in the desert. Jesus said, if they go back now, it's too far. They'll faint along the way. And Philip told him, he said, my master, even if we had enough in a place to get the food, how would we afford food for all these people? He said, how many loaves have you? They said, we've just got about 7 church ages, just about 7 seals, 7 thunders, 7 vials, 7 trumpets. We just got about 7 loaves left here, master. And he said, that's enough. Just bring it to me. You may not have very much to offer him, but just bring it to him and see what he does with it. They had a few small fish. They had 7 loaves, and when he began to take it and began to break, they had a few baskets there, and they began to take up basket after basket, and everybody ate until they were full and laying there on the side of the desert, and they couldn't eat anymore, and they took up 7 baskets after that. Why? Because they obeyed God, and he gave them a blessing more than they could receive it. Another time in St. John 6, they went along, and there was a little boy that had played hooky and skipped school, and he had his lunch food there with him under his arm, and Jesus began to speak, and they didn't have any food for the people. He said, what's that little boy got there? They said, oh, he's just got five loaves and 2 small fishes. He said, that's enough. Just give it to me. That's enough. Just give it to me. You say, oh, I don't have a whole lot. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a prophet, but I just have a burden on my heart to pray for people. Well, just put that in his hands and see what he can do with it. Just give it to him and see what he can do with it. All mine. They gave it to him, and before it was all over, he fed 5,000. They took up 12 baskets. They probably had more if they would have had more baskets. I don't know. They only had 12 disciples, so they didn't have probably more baskets to carry. Oh, he gave them more, a blessing poured out upon them. Peter had a need one time. He had some back taxes that he owed, and he said, master, should we pay the taxes? And Jesus began to talk to him about it, and he said, go down there and take that hook you keep in your pocket. Go down there and put it in the water, and when the first fish that you catch, open it up, and there's going to be a coin for you and for me, and take it down there and pay the taxes for us. God provided a way. He didn't understand how it was going to happen. How did Jesus know where the fish was that had the coin and that Peter was going to drop it in the water, that he was going to catch it? Why? Because he was the Son of Man, God standing in human flesh there before the people, and he stands there and he drops it in, and Peter goes, maybe he's standing there thinking, mom, I've seen him do a lot, but I don't know about this, Brother Charlie. I don't know about this. I've been fishing for years, and I've cut open thousands of fish. I've never seen any coins in any fish's mouth. And here he gets it, and he opens it up there and slops it down, cuts it open, and there it is, 2 coins, just like the master said. Oh, truly, truly, this was the Son of God. Oh, my, he got excited about it. After Jesus had died and rose again, and they come, and this was the third time they'd seen him in St. John, and he's sitting there, and he begins to come to him. They got scared, the very one that could help them, and they were scared of it. So that's like a lot of people today. The very thing that could help them, the very ministries that could encourage them, that could pray for them, that could be with them to counsel them through their marital troubles and different things, they're scared of it. Why? It's a scary thing to them. Oh, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. I'm afraid of being deceived. You better be careful. You probably already are. If you're afraid of that, the elect can't be deceived, remember? The elect can't be deceived. And they saw the very thing that could help them, and they was afraid of it. And he came in and he said, children, have you any meat? They said, no. And he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. See, the problem was they've been casting it on the wrong side. He said, cast it on the right side. Many times we try in our efforts. We try to do this. Lord, I've tried to find a job. I've tried to find a wife. I've tried to find the right church to go to. I've tried to find the right place to invest my money in. I've tried to do this. I've tried to do that. I've tried to exercise and be healthy. I've tried to pray day and night and seek you. I've tried to find a gift that you can use me through. I've tried. See the pattern? I. But just ask him. He'll tell you, just you've been doing it on the wrong side. Do it over here on the right side. Amen. He'll lead you and guide you. Seek him first. Put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and he'll add the rest to it. Amen. Almighty. When they got done there that day, when they cast on the other side, they had 153 fish, the Bible said. More than they could eat, Brother Layton. More than they could eat. There was 12 or 11 disciples at that point. And Jesus, 12 men sitting there and 153 fish, he poured out more of a blessing than they could even receive at the time. St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Let's go and read it real quickly. Amen. St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Listen to Jesus. He's so simple. It's not something that you have to sit down and figure out and calculate. He was preaching to ignorant and unlearned men, and he had to say it in a way that they could understand. And remember, the common people heard him gladly. It wasn't something so confusing that they had to sit down and have a professor explain it to him like people think we got to do with the message today. So simple that a housewife or a child can understand it. St. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowl of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your Father feedeth them, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. Just have confidence in him. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't try to, you know, make $1 million overnight and have all these great big things and thinking that you're going to have a prosperity gospel and all these things. God usually doesn't work like that. But what God does is he said, I'll provide all your needs. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. He said he'd be with you. Oh, he said wherever two or three are assembled together, he'd be in their midst. Amen. These are the things he promised us. Not a flowery bed of ease, but he promised that he'd provide our needs. So I have confidence in him tonight. I may not have $1 million in the bank account, and I may not have all this, that, and the other, but what I do have is confidence in Jesus Christ, that if I'll seek him first, if I'll put him first, that all the rest will fall into place if I just keep doing my part and seeking him. Lord, what should I do? Where should I work? What should I do? How should I go? How should I raise my family? How should I do this? How should I do that? Seek him first. And all of his righteousness and all these other things will be added to you. Not prosperity tonight that, oh, just take it easy and sit back and watch the money roll in. But no, you go do something, but make sure you're doing it for the Lord. Seek him first in it. And be content, remember, not where, with all that I speak of respect of want, for I've learned whatsoever state that I'm in therewith to be content. We ought to be content tonight. We look over and we see people in foreign countries, no clothes hardly. I tell my little boy, Philip, all the time, I said, it's a sin, buddy, all the toys that you have. I said, there's little boys that don't even have shoes, let alone toys, and here we are in America, weak and lazy and fat, and we sit around, we have all the food we want, we don't need to fix it, we just go through the drive-thru and have it, pick it up out the window, and we've got cars that we ride in, and that car's not as nice as brother so-and-so, so we have to go get us a bigger one and go in debt, and we can't invite people over to our house because our house isn't as nice as sister so-and-so's, so we got to go get a bigger one and go in debt, and my, How are we going to entertain the children if we don't get a boat or a four-wheeler or something like that? So we go in more debt, and before you know it, you and the wife is mad and angry and snipping at one another because you're so stressed out about trying to make that bill payment or whatever it is that's coming up, and you don't know where the next dollar's coming from. Why weren't you content? Brother Trevor's laughing because I couldn't have preached this 5 or 10 years ago. I would have been saying, and what you should do is, praise the Lord, amen. But I've learned a little bit about whatsoever state I'm in there with to be content. Amen. If it's paid for, I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm content without that car payment. I'm content without this and that and all these different things. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Be content. Brothers, you ought to be shouting tonight. I'm trying to keep your wives' credit cards in your pockets. Be content with what you got. We ought to be running the aisles, Brother Layton. If this don't make somebody happy, I don't know what will. David said, speaking, the Lord prophesying through him, said, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow. I don't have to worry about it. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to go out here and I'm going to go $500,000 in debt and say, oh, I know who holds tomorrow. Well, you big dummy. Why don't you have confidence in him instead of, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and all these other guys that you're dependent on? Depend on him. Amen. I'm not dependent on the creditors. Amen. They know where I live. But he knows where I live too, and I'm okay with that. Amen. Amen. God's good to us. God will provide for us. God doesn't promise us everything that we want just on a flower bed of ease, but give it to him. You say, oh, well, it's too late, Brother Nathan. I've gotten debt. Well, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. Lay that credit card down in Jesus' name and say, get behind me, Satan. Shred it. Do whatever you got to do with it. Amen. Amen. You got to start somewhere. Old legionary was bound, all these demons on him, and he could have sat there and thought, well, it's too late for me now. But Jesus came along and said, no, legion, start somewhere. Put you some clothes on. We'll start from there. And he began to deliver him. Before you know it, he was sitting there in his right mind. You got to start somewhere, whether it's your finances, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your health. You say, well, I've got this health thing that's bothering me, or I've got this weight that I want to get off. I got to get all this. Like my dad says, well, you can't be Arnold Schwarzenegger overnight. You got to start somewhere. Start walking a mile. Don't start walking 100. Start with a mile. Let's start there. Let's do something achievable. You say, oh, I can't stop spending money. I got to have this. I got to pay this bill. I got to pay that bill. All right. We'll just pay the bills and stop spending there for a while till the bills get paid, and then we'll talk. Amen. Be content with what you have. Don't get so stressed out in your life that you and your wife can't even talk because you're ready to pull your hair out and get in a fight over who spent what and who did this and who did that. Just give it to Jesus and walk on. Amen. Just walk on and take it a day at a time. Amen. God will provide for you, but you got to have confidence in him, and you got to use the good common sense that he gave you. Amen. God bless you tonight. God's one-step plan to financial freedom. Amen. It's simple. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. I don't think I can go out here and buy a $500,000 home that I can't afford in Jesus' name and then say, Lord, why did you let me get into this? Well, you big dummy, why'd you go buy it? Amen. Paul wasn't out there saying, Timothy, when you go to my huge walk-in closet, pick out one of the 500 suits that I have, whichever color you like, and bring it to me because I need a coat because it's cold over here in Corinth where I'm at. He said, go and bring me my cloak because it's the only one I got, and I'm a little cold over here in prison. He was content with the state wherewith he'd been. I'm not saying that we have to be poor and our elbows coming through our clothes and all these different things, and that we've got to be so humble that we got to drive a car that you got to mine's about that way, Brother Lane, but that you got to fill up with oil every time you leave or whatever you do. But you don't have to do all those things and be so humble that you just to be humble. But if you can't afford to be any other way but humble, let's be humble till the Lord blesses us and just depend on him to pay those humble bills till he can prosper us a little bit better. Amen. Well, that was free tonight, but if you'd like to make a donation, you can write to. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come. Even God has a sense of humor. Amen. I was telling somebody the other day, I thank God that even my salvation and being filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't feel like it took all of my humor out. It tamed it a little bit, like it should have been. I took it a little too far before. Some brothers might still think I take it too far, but amen. But he's still working on me. Amen. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Let's stand and sing it tonight. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Turn around somebody and tell them, say, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. And I'd rather be an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. Lord, I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Oh, yes, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Appreciate those sermons where I can smile afterwards, Brother Jeremiah. Some of my preaches is a little hard to smile after. I think, oh my. But amen. Whether he preaches us under conviction or preaches us happy, or whether the tape we're listening to or the guest speaker or the song, whatever, it makes us cry, makes us shout, makes us laugh, whatever it is. Amen. Just thank God for the truth. Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for just leading me down this path to look at a few of these things. Lord, we see in your word, you have a plan for us. Lord, you want to bless us. Lord, and you want to take care of us and provide for our needs. Maybe not everything we want or desire, but all of our needs, you promised, Father, that you'd take care of. Help us to put you first and seek you first in every decision that we make. Father, knowing that the roads are a little slick tonight, Father, just ask you to protect each one as they return to their homes. Lord, be with all those that wanted to be here tonight but were sick and, Lord, out. Father, for physical ailments, Lord, just ask you to give them a special touch and just to heal them and bring them back, Lord, at the appointed hour. Lord, just be with us tonight as we go out these doors. Help us just to let our light shine for you, Father, because, Lord, we know that darkness can't stay where light is. So help us, Lord, just to be a light to others that we come in contact with. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing it again tonight as we go. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Oh, this little light of mine. Well, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this. I won't let it.